I'd just like to start by saying this is a topical sermon. I'm not like preaching through those passages. So I more want to give you what the vibe of what God says about sex in the Bible, not those specific passages, right? That's the first thing. Second thing that I'd like to say, if this had been me, my advice on relationships and sex would have started like this. On your first date, make sure you eat messy food with the person, because then you can see how they eat. And you'll probably be sitting across from them at the table for a long time and make your decision sort of based on that. That would be one piece of advice I'd give. Another piece of advice I'd give would be go and meet mum and dad, because people change and they grow into their parents. And ask yourself this, do I want to be married to their parents? That'd be some advice I'd give. So I'm really glad that this is not what I say about sex. But like I'd say, it's not about you. I'd say it's about the other person. And so it's more important to love and care for them than think about yourself. So there'd be some value in what I added, I hope. But today I want to talk about what God says about sex and what he thinks about sex. And to do that, I just want to start by saying I mostly want to say what he's saying to Christians, not to everybody. Okay, if you're not a Christian, I hope there's value here for you tonight, but it's different. Okay, because as we saw in our reading, a Christian is joined to Christ. Christ died for us. We died and have his life in us. And he lives in us. And so when we relate to people, it's not just us by ourselves doing something. It's Christ in us doing something. And it doesn't matter whether that's sex or skiing. It doesn't matter. We're living in Christ and he's living through us. But in sex, we are joining ourselves to someone else, right? And so it's a bit different for us, just to be honest. Not putting anyone down, it's just we've made a different choice in who we belong to and who lives in and through us. So I'm talking to Christians. And I hope if you're not a Christian that you'll see that what God's given us is great. And to do that, I thought I'd tell you a story. My dad, when he was about 20-ish, he played cricket for South Australia. One day, a bloke came along and gave them like a talk, a pep talk, build them up, took them down to the nets, said, if you can bowl me out, I'll give you a cricket ball signed. Dad did it. He bowled him. Got the ball and he got it signed. Anyways, when I went to boarding school, I got into the first 11. And on that day, Dad gave me the cricket ball with the signature, Don Bradman. Tell you what, I was so proud. Took it down to the nets. And I could not miss the wickets with that ball. Did not matter what happened. I could swing it and I'd smash them. People who I could never bowl out, I bowled out. It was just the best day. That ball would not miss it. It was like magic. Anyways, that night I took it home to Dad, thanked him. This is a great ball. It's like a lucky ball. Unfortunately, it was ruined. And Dad was furious. He was so mad because that Don Bradman ball was just trashed. I know what you're thinking. How dare he be mad at me? How dare he? He gave me that ball. It was mine. It was fun and I practiced with it and I got better. What's he cross about? Just don't get it. What was your reaction when I said that? Your thing was, my guess was in your brain, what a waste of something so precious. How could you waste something so precious for a little bit of fun and a little bit of practice? What a waste. I want to say that's a story. My dad did play for South Australia. Believe it or not, I made the first 11, fielding way outfield. I did not trash Don Bradman's ball. But I'll tell you something, every day people trash something more precious than Don Bradman's ball. They take a beautiful gift from God and they use it for fun and they use it for practice. And they lose something really special. They do. You see, when you're doing a topical sermon, I always think it's good to go back to the start and see what God's intent was. He creates the whole world and he says, that is good, that is good, that is good, that is good. Then he sees man all alone and he says, that is not good. And he gives man a job. He says, you find a helper. A helper for you. And man hunts, Adam hunts around, and finally he realizes something. He doesn't have one. There's nothing in all that creation that is a helper. As Genesis says, as it says in Hebrew, matching him. Cool word, it means like, opposite. Like him, opposite him. Perfect companion for him. Nothing. So God puts him into a deep sleep and he makes for Adam the perfect companion. Perfect for each other. Like each other. Opposite each other. Just completing each other. And they in that garden could be together and unashamed. They just knew each other perfectly. That's sex. That's what sex is. It's where you know someone perfectly and it's so close that you come together physically. It's beautiful. You don't just do it for fun. Just don't do it for practice. In Genesis 4:1, that's how it describes them having sex. Adam knew Eve. That's what you're doing. That's what you're offering someone when you have sex with them. You are saying, this is me, naked. And your lover is saying to you, this is me, naked. This is who I am. Can I say that's not something you just do? You don't go out for a drink and say, this is me, body and soul. If I was going to call this sermon something different, I like this better, I'd say, not for a loaf of bread. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 26, for the price of a prostitute is a loaf of bread. That's what you can buy a woman or you can buy a man, just cost you a bit of money. You can go and have sex with them. What you're buying for a little bit of money is what in Proverbs 31, a wife, this is what Proverbs 31 says, is more precious than rubies. You are buying something so valuable for the price of a loaf of bread. Now, in this day and age where music is on your iPod, And a dance is not a dance, but you go to a concert or watch so you think you can dance. And a feast is not getting together, it's watching MasterChef. The way we buy a prostitute these days is go online. And we buy something so precious for a click. You know what we lose when we do that? We lose intimacy. We lose just knowing someone. Someone who is willing to share everything with you. Do you have that thing? Could you find it? You see the depths of my heart and you love me the same. That's what God does for us. At a lesser level in a Christian marriage, you know each other and yet you love and share yourself with them. That's what's going on in a marriage. It's beautiful, isn't it? It's not something that you just get. It's something you win. You win it every day by letting them know you and loving them and them loving you back. How pathetic does my advice seem? Eat messy food so you can see if you can sit across from the table from them compared to look what God has made for you. Don't throw that away. Don't just fall in love with a pretty face. It's nothing. They grow into their parents. Sorry to say. Let me just say, I'd just like to say I had all these mother-in-law jokes ready. I had some corkers. But her mum is so sweet, I just couldn't say them. It's a tragedy. But if your mother-in-law is not like that, come and see me. I have got a really long list ready to go. And so that's what I think is in God's heart for you. Not to go through life alone. To have someone who knows you and who you know. Who you can deeply share your life with. It's not, easy to find that person. It's hard. And what's more, it's a sinful world. And pain can come in. But that is what God wants for us in sex. And I'd just like to say for some people who that's not their experience of sex, that it's sad. That's a trouble with sin in the world. That's what sin does. It hurts. It's painful. And yet, if you haven't got there yet, don't throw it away. Don't just have sex. Work for beautiful sex. Find someone. Chase them. Woo them. That's what that's all about, what you're reading, isn't it? Two people wooing each other, wanting each other, loving each other, getting to know each other, what they care about. You know, putting on pretty scents. I gather doing sit-ups involved nowadays. You know what I mean? Actually putting in the effort to be the person that makes their life richer and they make your life richer. That's what that Song of Songs seems to be saying to me as I read through it. We get to this Corinthians reading, which originally I thought, what is he thinking about choosing that passage when I'm trying to talk about sex? He's like, don't go and have sex with a prostitute. Let me say, I think that's at the core at it. Jesus died and his life lives in us. When you have sex, you are joining him through you with someone. And if she is a Christian, that's beautiful because he's in her, or, you know, if you're a girl, the other way around. It's just beautiful. God is bringing two people and they become one at every level. And the Bible talks about what you do later. I'm not going to talk about it now. If your spouse is not a Christian, God says, they're your spouse. It's all right. It's all covered. I've got it sorted. To finish off, because we have a question time, and so if you would like to ask questions, we can talk about it. To finish off, this is what I'd like to say. God has given us this gift. Our whole society treats it as though it's nothing, as though it's a toy, as though it's a momentary price. If you believe that lie, you will miss out. You will not get what God wants for you. You will have pleasure. It's fun. Okay? You will have pleasure. Chances are you will have pain because you are joining yourself to someone. They get to know you, and when you separate, it hurts. It's just painful. And I'm confident that if any of you work in ministry or counseling, so much of the pain you see will be based because people do sex thoughtlessly, and you will see pain from it. You don't need to have that. I know things happen in life and people get hurt, but if you work hard, if you find someone, you don't just look at their face and their body, you look at the man or the woman, and you look until you say, I want to know that person. And then they're looking at you and they're saying, I want to know that person. You chase. And then you have what God wants for you in sex. Two people who know and love each other. It's what we lost in the Garden of Eden when we sinned. I want to finish by saying what they wanted was control. Let me say pornography. I'm not talking about it. It's about control. So much of sexual problems are about someone wanting to control someone. This is about love and knowledge and companionship and friendship leads to beautiful sex. It would have been a tragedy if I had it ruined. That cricket ball, wouldn't it? To take something precious and waste it. If you have the chance not to do that, don't. And if you are in a relationship, work hard to have something precious because it's God's gift for you. Let's pray. Lord, as we pray tonight, as I pray tonight, I just first of all like to pray for people who have been hurt in this area and ask that you will be a comfort to them and a strength. Father, if there's people in this room who are looking forward to lives with sex, we pray that you'll help them to realize how precious it is and help them to find someone to love and to know and to share their lives with and make it something rich in their lives. We pray for our marriages. We pray that they will be places where two people come to know and love each other more deeply. We pray for ourselves and the way we think and live. And we ask that we as a church community will be able to be different from our society, to enjoy the gift that you've given us and not just use it for fun or for practice. Amen. Oh, yes. Be nice. No, you can ask real... Look, feel free to ask questions. Just make sure they're good ones, real questions. Does anyone have a question they'd like to ask about? It's not like other points of theology, is it? But if there's something you'd like to know. Oh, yes, Mrs. Hicks.
Is it alright for them to have sex before they get married?
No, it is not alright. That's a great question which I didn't broach. Marriage is where we formally are united together in front of people before God. When Adam and Eve were married, God brought them together. And in marriage, we're acknowledging that that's true. I think it's so important to have the community and in front of God that to happen before people have sex. It's what He tells us to do, and it's for our best. Is there anything else I should add? Do you think about that? Yeah, I think it causes pain. I think when you're going to know someone as intensely as that, it's important to have security. And I think marriage can bring that security. It's actually a joy to know that they're committing themselves to you in the same way that you're committing yourself to them before you reveal yourself so fully. Yes?
I think this is going to be a very difficult question.
Maybe. I hope not.
Well, the whole world, the secular world now, has been sexualized.
Yes.
There will be advertisement, there will be song, there will be movie. So we are exposed to so much of this so-called sexual activity.
Yes.
And the temptations are great.
They are.
The influence from our peers is great. How can we protect these young people so that they don't fall in the trap where they lose something precious just for 5 minutes?
It's a huge question. I think one thing as a church community is providing opportunities for people to do things together, young people to do things together where they can get to know each other, where it's not a date. I'd personally say I'm not a big fan of dating. I think you should get to know each other first. And I think that takes away some of the temptation because you're in a group. And I think that's helpful. And also just this, talking about it, reminding people what you can have with good sex is great, rather than just hearing that, you know, having sex. You don't really do sex. It's a big thing, not a little thing. And I think reminding people of that. Another thing I think is really important is reminding people how much pain actually comes from doing sex, as that's what I call when you're not building a relationship, just doing sex, how much pain it causes, sometimes you, but always someone, just hurts people. It's not a sin that doesn't have consequences. It does. The other thing I think is, as a Christian, to constantly remember you were bought and it was a great price that Jesus paid so that you could have that friendship with God to become the woman and the man that He wants you to be. And you have said to God that I'm yours and I want to live for you. And so that's a constant fight against sin and temptation. And you can't get rid of the temptation everywhere you go. There's billboards or something, but you can always remember who you belong to, who you've chosen to serve, and constantly do that. I also think there's definite triggers for most people to sexualize behavior, and people know when they come across them, and you have to plan your life so that that doesn't happen. So you don't hire DVD Blu-ray now, so much high quality. You just don't hire it if you know that there's something in it. Easy as. You don't go into Sydney on a Saturday night. You just don't do it. You come to church and you get yourself fed and you work hard. That's the kind of stuff I'd talk about or think about with that. It's a good question too. Yeah.
How would you explain to non-Christian people who view it
safe? One thing I would say to a non-Christian is that God, sex is bigger to God than it is to your average person. So if you don't know, if you don't get that God made you and you just think of yourself as an animal or, you know, like that, I don't mean this negatively, I just mean if that's how you view yourself, then having sex is just a thing. It's just to have babies or for fun or practice, you know. But that God made it for so much more. I think I would think of it in terms of creation like I did there and try to really get them to see who God made us to be. He made us to be something special in this world and he made marriage to be a big part of that. Reproduction is really about bringing someone into that beautiful relationship that you have. Like you don't just have kids. You bring them into something special and rich. And you can just see that even if they don't know God, they can see the pain that comes from sex done wrong. They can. And we can have beautiful Christian marriages that show them sex done right, what a rich and beautiful thing it is, how safe it is. Let me say, sometimes when I talk about my marriage with Ali, not at a sexual level with kids at school, but just about what beautifulness there is in it, they just don't see that at home. They just don't know that that's what you can have in a friendship. And I think we can show people. And if we're sinning in our lives, and let me say, it's easy to do it wrong in a marriage, changing the way that we live and saying sorry and repenting and turning it around, we can show the world what God has for them in relationship. I don't know, does that answer? Yeah. No, I don't. I thought about whether I should talk about that in my sermon, and I figured as Christians would talk about it like that. But what you're saying is so important, that you are not more complete because you have sex. God makes you to be who he makes you to be, and he gives you the life that he plans for you to live. And if you're in him and you're living the life that he's given you to live, you will have a rich and full, blessed life. You don't miss out because you love and trust God. Like, you never miss out because you love and trust God. So, I could talk on that more fully, but I think that's the important bit of that. Okay, Sam, one more. Yes.
Can you give us a little bit of an outline of what, how the aftermath of having random sex before you use that word? What is the aftermath and the value of the person, the way you value yourself?
I would guess that depends very much on the person. And also, if they're a Christian, how much they understand the forgiveness that God can give them in Jesus. So when you're forgiven, you are forgiven. In that passage where it talks about everything's permissible, you know, in my little parables, my little story about the bowling ball, it was completely permissible for me to bowl that bowling ball and ruin it. Just was not the best choice. Now, God has made it really clear that it is not permissible to have sex outside of marriage, you know, in the Ten Commandments and stuff like that. But like all sin in Jesus, it can be forgiven. And so I think at the core, I would like to say before I talk about the pain that it can cause, forgiveness is complete in Jesus. and you can live a whole and beautiful life in Him. I think when you become one and you are ripped apart for whatever reason, you don't just join physically when you become one. You join spiritually, emotionally, physically. And so when you rip that apart, you leave a bit of yourself with the other person, and that will hurt. I personally think, though I have not studied it, I just personally think at every level it will cause you pain. And that will be very hard to define, and some people won't feel it because you don't always feel your pain. Sometimes you push it aside or something like that. But you'll be hurt because you did it. I don't know. Does that... question or comment?
If people have got a question and they ask, can they ask it afterwards?
Yes.
And if people maybe are sexually sinning and they want to talk to somebody, who would you suggest they talk to? You certainly should talk to somebody the same gender.
I always think you should talk to someone of the same gender, personally. Or if you're in a relationship, then together talking with someone. I would suggest that you talk to a Christian, because I don't think a non-Christian, as wise or as talented as they may be in hurt or pain, will look at how you've behaved or thought like a Christian does. So in most areas, I would say see a Christian, see a non-Christian, God's blessed them and can help them. But I would say in terms of sexual things, see a Christian, and I would say someone of the same gender, if possible. Yeah. They certainly are, and you just get what you get, but I'll do my best. So, does anyone have any last questions, or else I'll just pray, and then you should see the cake that is waiting out there. You'll just move quickly from here, because it looks great. She read the book. Did you make the cake as well? Oh, okay. So it's great. Anything else? Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you will help us to have your heart in this. We know that you have given sex as a good thing for us to enjoy. We know that you want us to have rich and full lives. We know that you want us to be one with you, and you want us to live lives that please you. And so we ask, as we talk about sex tonight, that you will bless us personally in that area, as a community, as a church. We pray that we will know the fullness of what you have for us, whether we have sex or don't have sex, whether we're married, whether we're still kids thinking about it. We just pray that we will know your will and that we will live closely with you. Amen.